I still say the best approach is to say Clayton's been with the Peace Corps.
Susan, we've been all over that. It's ridiculous. Furthermore, I don't care. Who knows where a brother's been?
All right, then fine. We'll just say he was living with a circus. I mean, you know, people still run off and do that. He could have been with a real high-class circus.
How long has it been since y'all seen Clayton?
Well, let's see. We saw him about 7 years ago in New Orleans. I remember, because he had a breakdown right after that. And then about 3 years ago, we visited him in Chicago. That was just before his second breakdown, and then, of course, this most recent one. Come to think of it, he seems to always have a breakdown right after we visit.
So just what are you implying?
Nothing, just that I hope you don't do anything to shatter his nerves this time.
Just how do I do that?
You just come on too strong, Suzanne.
What's that supposed to mean, too strong?
Well, I don't know. It's just everything about you. Sometimes even your face comes on too strong.
Well, excuse me for being so incredibly beautiful.
Also, you're always pressing him and pressing him to have a good time, like that time we were in Chicago. You never stopped talking. You got into your suitcases and put on a big fashion show. You made that silly dog of yours dance for him every 5 minutes. I mean, we do not have to have all this forced gaiety.
Well, at least I'm not always bringing up his problem.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, you obviously think you're Dr. Ruth. Let's get everything out in the open. Sugar Baker! Well, did it ever occur to you that maybe Clayton doesn't want to talk about his problem? Maybe he's just a little sick and tired of you always going out of your way to act like you're not ashamed that he's a couple of air bubbles off the beam.
Well, I am not ashamed. Suzanne, let's face it, Clayton has problems. When he cannot handle these problems, he drinks. When he drinks, he winds up in the mental hospital, that's all. I can't understand why you have trouble admitting that.
And I don't know why you have to make a big deal out of this. I mean, you're the one who's always talking about how Southern families are so proud of their eccentrics, how they're always bringing them out and putting them on display. But for some reason, you just can't let Clayton be a cute little eccentric. No, you got to confront the problem head on. He's got to be the national poster boy for nervous breakdowns. I mean, by the time you're through, everybody in Atlanta is going to be talking about it.
Suzanne, are you feeling all right?
Yes. Why?
I don't know, you're just so incredibly articulate and lucid. It's kind of disturbing.
Well, I have my moments, you know.
Suzanne, I'm not saying that Clayton is crazy. All that I am saying is that we're getting him to come home for the first time in years. Let us not waste this chance. Let us not allow him to sit around your house all winter eating bourbon balls and playing canasta, okay?
I cannot believe you, Julia. Sometimes you are just so petty. One bourbon ball. He found one bourbon ball in an old candy dish on the baby grand, and for this, I'm too irresponsible to play hostess to my own brother.
Y'all better cut it out. They just pulled up.
All right, Suzanne. Just remember to be calm and subdued.
All right, fine, Julia. I'll be calm and subdued. Just don't you go asking him how that nervous breakdown's coming along. Clayton!
Girl! I'll just be taking this bag upstairs.
Thanks, Anthony. Hey, Suze, how you doing?
Just fine.
You look so good.
Thank you.
Not you, Suzanne. Clayton.
You look great, Julie. You both do.
Clayton, we want you to meet two of our dearest friends. This is Charlene.
Hey, Charlene. How are
Frazier
you?
And Mary Jo Shively.
How are you, Mary Jo? How you doing?
So nice to meet you.
Thank you.
You come over here and sit down, you sweet thing.
Julia, I was going to introduce him.
Oh, well, all right. You go ahead.
Never mind. It's not the same now.
Let's just start over. You must be Charlene and Mary Jo. Two of Suzanne's dearest friends. How are you?
Pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Silly.
I can't believe you wouldn't let us come pick you up. Hate to think about you riding the bus.
Well, the bus wasn't that bad. I sort of think of it as my reentry vehicle. Sort of like the astronauts use when they come back to Earth.
Well, we were starting to get worried about you. I mean, you know, you're almost an hour late.
Is that right? I'm all fouled up. Alone just watched a guy who's not on daylight savings time.
Do you mean there are people who think they have a choice?
Out at the Macadamia Ranch.
Macadamia Ranch is Clayton's little euphemism for nut house. Oh. Hon, go on with your story.
There's really no story. We just got one guy who won't spring forward, another one who won't fall back.
It's my fault we were late. We got lost taking Mr. Dinelli home.
Who's Mr. Dinelli?
He's just another patient. He rode in with me on the bus. They let him out on a trial basis.
Oh, what's wrong with him? I mean, not that it's any of my business. I was just curious.
He's afraid of movie stars. I think it's going to be okay, though. He Doesn't know any. He's not going to meet any. Pretty much going to be smooth sailing from here on in.
Well, there were a few tense moments there when he thought there was a possibility I might be Sidney Poitier. You know, I never would have said, they call me Mr. Tibbs, if I'd have known he was going to get so upset.
Don't worry about it, Anthony. He'll get over it.
Oh, dear, you must be starving. Can I get you something?
No, thanks. I had a shrimp cocktail out of the machine at the bus station.
You actually ate one of those? I always wondered what kind of person would buy one. No offense.
Well, I did debate about the cheese sandwich, but I think I made the right decision. Only time will tell.
Well, I better be loading up that truck. Clayton, it was a pleasure.
Anthony, you're a good man. See you later.
You can count on that. You take it easy, man.
Right.
You know, Clayton, your sisters have just been counting the hours till you got here. They have talked of nothing else.
I bet they've been fighting over me. And I bet old Sue's there wants to tell everybody that I've been out on the Alaska pipelines or someplace so all her friends won't find out her brother's home from the loony bin.
Now, Clayton, you know that's not true.
So, Sue's, how you been? Are you still collecting men, pulling off their wings and keeping little jars up in your room?
Don't talk silly.
I used to go up there and peek at them at night. They were all squashed down in those jars. It was awful. They start begging me, please, I only went out with her one time in college. Please, please let me go.
Clayton, I have to tell you that Suzanne wanted very much for you to stay over at her house, but I insisted that you stay here with me.
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't come over, you know, spend the night sometime, until you get your apartment. And then you could rub my back on my neck and my feet.
Oh, Lord.
You know, that was Clayton and Julia's favorite thing, you know, when we were little, play Tickle Monster. They'd pounce on me when I was asleep, and then they'd tickle me till I couldn't catch my breath.
Well, those are good old days, aren't they?
I hate to interrupt this conversation, but I have something a little more important to talk about.
What's that?
Well, we don't have to get into it right now, but when you're feeling up to it, I want to help you get a job, the kind of job that you deserve.
Thanks, but I don't think I'd want any job that I deserve. Besides, I've kind of got something in mind for myself.
Julia, why don't you just leave him alone? Clayton, I don't know why you just don't come and stay with me tonight. I mean, you're certainly not going to have any fun over here with Nurse Ratchet.
Suzanne, I believe that I have had just about enough of your smart mouth for one day.
Well, so much
I'm
for
beginning
comments
to lose patience
dude.
With you.
I mean, I
Clayton
don't know.
Has
you
come
know,
in here as my guest.
Of me
I am
Clayton
the oldest sister, both you and
you
Clayton.
Have always
I am tired.
Since we were little.
Clayton, I'm awful sorry you had to come in the middle of all this.
It's okay. Doctor says I'll be fine if I can stay away from any undue pressure and stress. You mean I've been around here 3 days and I haven't told you anything about my two friends, Bubba and Earl?
No, I don't believe so. I think I remember Bubba and Earl.
They were in the hospital with me one time, and strange enough, all three of us were graduates of the University of Georgia. I tell you, people graduated from the University of Georgia are super intelligent. But what we can do best is we can figure out all the complexities of modern-day life. Bubba and Earl are good examples of that. They were driving back from a football game at Athens one day, going back to Atlanta's late at night, and they bought out of gas on the interstate. Now, what in the world are they going to do? So they looked up and they saw a sign on the interstate that said, free sex will fill up, next exit. Bubba said, Earl, whip in there quick. And Earl whipped it in. The fella came out and said, what'll it be? Earl said, fill it up. They can't wait. They elbowed one that's going to be terrific. So finally the guy finished. He comes back and he said, I'll be $18.95. Earl pays it. Earl said, now listen, fella, what about that free sex? Guy said, well, first of all, you got to play a game to become eligible. Earl said, what kind of game is that? He said, well, I think a number between 1 and 10, you got to guess it. Earl said, all right, 9. Guy said, no, it's 2. Bubba said, let me try. He stood on a minute. He said, 7. Guy said, told you, it's 2. Well, they're real disappointed. They get about 4 or 5 miles down the road. And Bubba been thinking about this all the time. He said, Earl, I think I'll figure this thing out. He said, that was a trick back there. Earl said, what do you mean it's a trick? So that guy can get any number he wants to. It's a trick. Earl said, no, it ain't no trick either. Bubba said, how you know? Earl said, I'll tell you how I know. He said, my wife went in there twice last week, and she won both times. Listen, thanks for helping me in this job application. Mm-hmm. Are you sure this is the way you spell industrious?
Oh, yeah, looks right to me. I hate to bust up this little party, but don't y'all have some work to do? Oh, right, we're just taking a break.
Hey, I'm out of here.
If you need me, I'll be in the storeroom.
Yay.
Do you all know they really didn't discover sushi in California? They've had it in Alabama for years. They just had a different name for it. Bait.
I miss having Clayton around today. I wonder how his first day on the job's going.
Well, I'm sure he's miserable. I mean, who wants to be a lowly clerk in a music store?
This is a perfectly respectable job.
He would have been much happier being something else.
Such as?
I don't know. Maybe an attorney.
That may be true, Suzanne. But I think being an attorney is too much pressure. Especially when you haven't been to law school.
Oh, well, all right, then. He could be a golf pro at the country club. I mean, they don't do anything except sit around those Izod sweaters.
I don't think I care to respond to that.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, we don't have to worry about him ever getting a decent job as long as you're coaching him. Who is going to hire somebody who writes on his job application under mental illness, you bet?
Suzanne, I've always found that honesty was the best policy. And anyway, I think it's terribly important for Clayton to get off to a slow start, taking it one day at a time. And this job at the music store is a perfect way to do that. I think he's fortunate Mr. Hayes gave him this opportunity.
Opportunity? You call working at some flea-bag music store an opportunity? I mean, that's no kind of job for a sugar baker. What's next, school patrol boy?
Y'all ever thought about Clayton being a stand-up comic?
No. Why do you ask?
Oh, nothing. It's just... Well, we think he's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's got this routine he does, you know, about these two friends of his, these two good old boys named Bob and Earl. They're at an Auburn, Georgia football game. This dog named Ugga comes out on the 50-yard line, and Bubba turns to Earl.
Did he tell y'all this one?
No.
You should have heard it. Pretty good.
You know, he was a stand-up comic in the mental hospital talent show, and he won.
Didn't he tell you that?
No.
Well, you know, that's a bigger honor than you might think. I mean, I bet it's not exactly easy to crack those people up.
Y'all talking about Clayton?
Yeah.
Man, I think that dude is funny. If you ask me, I think he should just chuck it all and go for it.
Wait a minute. Am I missing something here? What are you talking about? Go for it.
I mean, be a stand-up comic. You know, it's his lifetime dream. He's sure not getting any younger.
Well, who told you it was his lifetime dream?
He did. Didn't he tell you all?
No.
Well, I can't believe that. He says he used to practice his routines in the basement all the time.
Well, he was down there a lot, but we just thought he was digging. Clayton, what are you doing here?
I got fired.
Fired? You've only been on the job 3.5 hours.
I know. They said they got sick and tired of hearing me play Louie Louie on the organ.
Do you mean to tell me that Mr. Hayes has fired you without even so much as giving you a warning?
Yeah, he gave me a warning. He told me to stop playing, and I did. But then I was writing out a sales slip for a saxophone. I sort of accidentally started singing it. You know the first part? Louie Louie, oh, baby, we gotta go. Aye, 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 aye. Mr. Hayes thought I was being smart, so he fired me.
Well, that doesn't seem very fair.
That's right. It's a free country. You can sing Louie Louie anywhere you want.
Listen, thanks for your support, all of you, but I don't think this is working out. I'm going to go upstairs and get my things.
Get your things? Where are you going?
I don't know. I'll send you a postcard.
Clayton, you can't go anywhere. You just got out of the hospital. I mean, you're...
What, nuts? Everybody else is, too. I just got caught.
Sit down.
Help yourself.
So, waiting for a bus?
Yep, waiting on the bus.
You know that guy?
No, but he keeps circling me. I think he's nuts. You know, we can spot each other sort of like whales. Lord, I hope he's not getting ready to do a mating call.
Oh, Clayton, I can't believe you're eating another one of those shrimp cocktails. You're really pushing your luck.
Yeah, this one does taste a little older than the other one.
Hey, Clayton.
Yeah.
Where are you going, man?
California.
Hollywood?
No, Anaheim. I got a friend in Vietnam that's about a mile from Disneyland. Word is there's an opening on Pirates of the Caribbean.
I thought you were going to work on your act.
I am, but in the meantime, I got to eat. If things don't work out, I'll just throw myself in front of the Tomorrowland train.
Clayton. Julie and Suzanne are awful upset. They've been looking everywhere for you.
So, what'd they say?
Well,
I don't think that they realize how serious you are about this comedy thing. Otherwise, Julia wouldn't have forced that music store job on you.
And they feel really terrible, man. You can't just leave like this. After all, you are their brother.
No, actually, I'm their half-brother.
Clayton, you know, I know this isn't the right time, but I never have gotten that straight.
Now, your daddy married your mother after he was married to Perky, their mother, right?
Right. Dad married Perky, and they had Julia. Then he married my mother, and they had me. But then he divorced her, married Perky again, and they had Suzanne.
What was your mom's name?
Charlene.
Dee Dee. She was a Rockette. She's dead now. I guess that makes her a dead Rockette.
Clayton.
Hey, I'm sorry, but it's kind of obvious the old man was just out for a one-night stand and got caught. Hey, what's the big deal about dying anyway? It's going to happen to all of us. You know, and it's amazing things, in spite of that, we still continue to build homes, buy new clothes, and take medicine.
Hey, man, you are really cheering us up.
You mean you didn't know you were terminal?
Do you believe this guy?
Look, Clayton, it's late, and we're tired, and it's cold now. You can sit around here in the bus station feeling sorry for yourself, or you can get in the car with us and for once in your life stand up to your sisters and tell them that you are in charge of your own life now. And if you want to go up in flames on the Johnny Carson show, it isn't anybody's business but your own. But at least be a man about it and don't slink out of town with your tail between your legs. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but I'm paying a babysitter by the hour.
So what do you think?
I think she makes a very good point.
I just cannot believe you'd go off to California like that without telling us.
Look, I just thought it's time I did what I wanted to for a change.
Did what you wanted to? That's all you've been doing all your life.
No, I haven't. I've been hiding out, afraid to try what I wanted to do. Afraid of failing. But I found something out. Once you've failed at everything, there's nothing to be afraid of anymore.
Talking about that stand-up comedy thing?
I am. The people at the mental hospital thought I was quite amusing. So did Charlene and Anthony and Mary Jo. Let that be a lesson to you. Always give your employees a mental health test.
Well, just where do you plan to do this act of yours?
All right, I need to practice my material, either here or there.
There, meaning California?
Look, I'm just trying to get out of your hair.
You mean you're going to be using our name and you're going to go out there and talk about being in a mental hospital and all of that?
You two just can't quit, can you?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're always going to be playing big sister, taking responsibility for my life. Suzanne's never going to quit pretending there's nothing wrong with me.
Well, Clayton, we just want to do what's right for you.
Then just love me.
Love you?
That's all I've ever wanted.
We do love you. We love you more than anything.
I guess I just never felt it. I was always the mongrel that Dad brought home. I just never fit in.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is, and you both know it. Dad and Perky never loved me the way he did you two.
Maybe we've just been trying too hard to make it up to you.
Listen, in all those times I was in the hospital, I used to take your pictures out, put them on the dresser. Everybody come by and say, which one of those is your girlfriend?
And you'd say, me.
I'd say, hey, man, those aren't my girlfriends. Those are my sisters.
Clayton, that's so sweet.
Yeah, then I'd say, my girlfriend a lot better looking than that.
You know, you are kind of funny.
Yeah. Maybe we've just been so worried about you, we haven't had time to notice.
Well, I, for one, would like to have this comedy act close by so I could screen it.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think you're a little too bizarre for Disneyland.
I love you. You know that? You're all I have.
I love you, too.
We just want you to be happy.
That's right. God knows it's your turn.
You know, I've always had trouble with relationships in my life, especially with women. It's like my ex-wife. She ran off with my best friend. Caused me to have a nervous breakdown. You know, I still miss that guy, too. It's terrible. Speaking of women, my two sisters are here tonight. I'm real proud of them. They're Southern Belles, really blue bloods, Piedmont driving club type. That one over there is a junior leaguer. You know why junior leaguers don't like group sex? All those thank you notes. But you know, I'm proud to be a Southerner, and people are always kind of making fun of the way Southerners speak. Let me tell you something. The Southern way of speaking is a language of nuance. It's a very functional language. What we can do in the South is take a word, change it just a little bit, and make it mean altogether something different. The word naked comes to mind for some reason. N-A-K-E-D. Used up North, but used down South. Means you got no clothes on. Sometimes in the South, naked just doesn't quite tell the story. So we change that word, and we say naked. N-E-K-K-I-D is how you spell that. Vast difference in these two words. Naked means you ain't got no clothes on. Naked means you ain't got no clothes on, you up to something. You know, I've been in some of the finest mental institutions in this country. I've had the best analysis money could pay for. And after much introspection, I've sort of come up with a philosophy for life. You leave here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to remember one thing old Clayton Sugarbear told you, and that's this, that life is like a dog sled team. If you ain't the lead dog, the scenery never changes.